Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk with Kia.
Now, Ukraine has launched its largest drone attack on Moscow in years, hitting the Russian capital's oil refinery for the second time this week. And for more on this, we're joined now by Dr. Patrick Bury, defence expert at the University of Bath and former NATO analyst. Good evening to you, Patrick. This attack, and now a repeated attack this week on Moscow by Ukraine, what does it signify, do you think, in terms of where we are at now and the war?
Good evening. Thanks for having us on again. Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing is what we call in kind of military terms, the maturation of the Ukrainian deep fires or deep strike capability. You know, the Russian Ministry of Defense is saying that there were 1,000 drones and a number of cruise missiles, at least four launched by Ukraine. If you think back at the start of the war, Ukraine just didn't have that capacity at all. And it's completely developed not only the short range FPV drones, which are dominating the front line and kind of holding it in stalemate, but more importantly, strategically, it's got the long range one way attack drones with fairly large, warheads on them. And they've developed their own, you know, indigenous cruise missile capacity. So it means they can hit back in the way that Russia's been hitting it, and it's not a good look for Putin. You're seeing, I don't know if you've seen some of the footage, like one of the oil tankers going up in central Moscow where the actual top of the silo floated on the cloud. So it was an incredible sight, like
a disc-like lid from one of the oil refineries. A huge thing, like an enormous frisbee it's being described as, but it's vast, shot straight up into the air over Moscow. Ukraine are clearly sort of putting out the narrative that the tide is turning, that they have this capacity, and that it isn't a one-way street when it comes to the war between Russia and Ukraine. Are they right? I mean, it may have been slow, the progress by Russia, but it has been somewhat relentless for a number of years now. Is this showing that the tide could turn?
I think you've got to distinguish between, you know what happens if you think about wars, long wars like this, people find their strategic pressure points over time and start to put the chokehold on. Russia tried it over the last couple of winters by basically pummeling the energy infrastructure and the Ukrainians, hoping to break their will. That didn't work. And I would say in part as a cause of that, and in part happening anyway, Ukraine has managed to find, you know, what is the absolute linchpin of the Russian economy, their oil refining capacity in particular, but also their exports. And by hitting those two, the stocks are going down. And the interesting thing is the asymmetry there is that Russia has to export more of its oil to get the money back up, which means that there's fuel shortages. Secondly, Ukraine is actually starting to do the same kind of thing in terms of like put a real tight grip using one-way attack drones and this strike capacities around Russian resupply, which is going into what they've annexed as Crimea, and the southern part of Ukraine, which it takes along the bottom of the Black Sea. So it's really turning a screw there as well. But whether that translates to like an imminent collapse, very hard to say. What it is doing is increasing the cost to the average Russian, especially in the major cities like St. Petersburg or Moscow, which have been kept away from the war, including the casualties, increasing the cost to the civiliki, so the security apparatus around Putin, and therefore putting pressure on him.
Yeah, we are hearing some reports that petrol has gone up by almost 20% in the last week at some petrol stations around Russia. So clearly that I'm sure is a conversation starter. But obviously an interesting tweet by Ukraine's foreign minister earlier on today. One of the most popular questions, he's saying, asked by Moscow this morning is, what is going on? I can answer. Your country started a war of aggression against ours. For years it has been killing our people. Now that you know what's going on, ask Vladimir Putin when he's planning to end it. So this is both being fought as a kind of a diplomatic onslaught but by Ukraine as well as these drone attacks and, as you mentioned, cruise missiles, isn't it?
Well, of course, that's what, you know, and what's going on in the modern character of warfare is you have your information operation to immediately complement, and sometimes you do military operations for the information effect. Actually, you saw that when Ukraine was really on the back foot doing raids, etc., you know, just to sort of show that they could maintain offensive operations, doing some of the Operation Spider Web, where they blew up a lot of the strategic air force that was left too close to left too deep into Western Russia, if you remember that operation. So this is the thing, it's about coordinating the info up and bringing pressure to bear on Vladimir Putin. But yeah, this is exactly it. You know, St. Petersburg and Moscow, the amount of conscripts that were taken conscripted from there is minute. What they do is they take all the poor Russian areas and they get them from Siberia and etc., and the ethnic racial minorities, and get them to go and serve, rather than getting the comparatively richer Muscovites. And
so it is true that they were somewhat unaware, because it's obviously still being described in some circles in Russia as a special military operation rather than a war even. So this is about perhaps a wake-up call to ordinary Russians. That must be some of what Ukraine is trying to achieve.
I think bringing the war home to the Russians in the capital city in St. Petersburg is a big deal. I also think that, yes, that kind of elite, upper class Russian, etc., the ones close to power, this is the first time they'll be seeing the real consequences. Nevertheless, and despite Russian, information suppression, etc., if you look at the amount of recruits they're getting, it's starting to drop off. They take about 30,000 to 45,000 casualties a month. They could usually replace about 45 at a push, but that's dropping off now. So that suggests that actually, even amongst the lower, classes that are enticed by the big bounty of about $60,000, even though they are realizing it's not worth it, because you probably won't come back.
Am I right, Patrick, in thinking that initially, particularly, I suppose, Ukraine's allies were all for Ukraine defending its own sovereign territory, but were a little bit more nervous or cautious or reluctant to endorse them actually attacking Russia and attacking Moscow? But has that shifted? There seemed to be some kind of a change, I felt, in narrative coming out of the G7. What did you think of all of that?
Yeah, I think, obviously, Ukraine's gone and developed its own strike capacities, which means that they can't control it. So that was the first strategic thing for Ukraine to do. And they're now like the world leaders in drone and counter-drone technology. So they're more than capable of developing that. But I think in the Biden administration, Jake Sullivan, et cetera, were more worried, you could say rightly, about the risk of World War III if they lent too hard into it. So we always had these issues about, could they give them HIMARS? Could they give them tanks? Could they give them F-16s? Remember, this is over the last 4 years of the war, etc. And they did eventually, but it was always too late, too little. And yes, it could stop the Russians, etc. But I think what's happened, especially when you see the UK and France, and they've leaned into, if you remember over the last year, we'll give you the Storm Shadow missile and you can use that, and the French equivalent. I think you've seen the Europeans, especially now that Trump's backed away, really, the money tap has been turned off from the Americans. So the Trump's backed away from, I think Europe has kind of stepped into that space and said, yeah, you can lean into it a bit more. And as I mentioned, Ukraine are doing it anyway.
Lastly, and you just mentioned Trump there, and just to shift wars and to shift gears slightly, the peace deal between US and Iran, which has come into effect. Patrick, do you think this will hold? Is there enough in it? I mean, it looks from the outside looking in like Iran has done quite well out of it.
Sounds like Iran has 300 billion reasons for it to hold, at least temporarily, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My general take, just quickly, is Iran up, China up, the Gulf has to militarize, USA down.
Thank you very much for joining us. That is Dr. Patrick Bury, their defense expert at the University of Bath and former NATO analyst.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.